I'm back. For those of you who thought I wouldn't be here, here I am. And you're listening to The Hour of the Time. And for those of you who are new, I'm William Cooper.
Come on, let's cruise, you got nothing to lose. Come on, let's cruise, you got nothing to lose. Come on, let's cruise, you got nothing to lose. Come on, hey, baby, come on. Come on, let's cruise, you got nothing to lose. Come on, let's cruise, you got nothing to lose. Come on, it's not the area to come on. Still cruising up the aisle of the U.S. Let's go, let's go for a spin. Hop in my hot rod and do it again. You got a thing, hop in the sun. I know a secret spot. I say, everybody's got a thing. We're gonna face it, but it's kind of cool.
Yes, folks, I'm back. The combined might of the New World Order, the oligarchy of evil, cannot keep me away. They cannot shut me up. Don't go away. Not even for a second. Don't leave your radio. Yes, folks, once again I have prevailed, and we'll continue to prevail. They want to put me away, folks, but it's not going to happen. A little over a week ago, I did a series on Mystery Babylon and the Beast. And before we get into tonight's program, where I'm going to take your calls, I want to talk about that a little bit. You see, I'm getting calls from sheeple again saying that they want to support my ministry. Folks, this is not a religious program. I was reading from a book entitled Scarlet and the Beast, written by John Daniel. The biblical quotes and the biblical connections in the book of Revelations were his, not mine. I injected some of my own thoughts into the narration whenever it appeared that he was going to take a leap which was too far out. You see, John Daniels has done a magnificent, fantastic work of research into the secret societies that are bringing about the New World Order, up until the point where he begins to say that all of this means that Jesus is coming now. You've heard me say it many, many times, and I'll say it again. The fact that he says Jesus is coming now means Jesus ain't coming. He's not coming. Now, the reason I did that series, folks, was to show you, and especially those of you who don't believe anything unless it comes out of the Bible, that we could pen a name on Scarlet and the Beast, according to John Daniel's research in his book, Scarlet and the Beast, the very last part of the book. It's 800 and some odd pages. I highly recommend it. Magnificent job of research. Few in this world could touch it, believe me. Until he gets away from fact and gets into the business of prophecy and prediction. You see, you can make the Bible say anything, ladies and gentlemen. And I know that many of you out there believe in the Bible wholeheartedly, and that you're right. I'm a constitutionalist. I'll fight for your right to believe in whatever religion, whatever book, whatever worship, whatever altar that you wish. Always. But you see, in his business of pinning names on Scarlet and the Beast, he left out two of the most important players in this little drama. One is the Vatican, and the other is Zionism. Remember, folks, I told you from the beginning, long time, years ago, in fact, that there are four major players. Four major players. The Illuminati on the British side, British Israelism, lodged in the Freemasonic lodges and the other secret societies that come from the belief of British Israelism. Then there's the French branch, or what we call the International, the home of communism and atheism. And then there's the Vatican, which I have demonstrated over and over and over again with facts, not conjecture, not prophecy, is the, or at least I should say, one of the homes, and a solid home of Mystery Babylon. And then there is Zionism, which, contrary to what you've been told, ladies and gentlemen, is not believed in by all Jewish people, nor does it have anything to do with maintaining the state of Israel. The goal of international Zionism is the same as the goal of communism, the goal of British Israelism, and the goal of the Vatican, and that is to rule the world. And it doesn't matter who Scarlet is or who the Beast is, because all of them agree on one thing. They want a one-world totalitarian socialist government. The Internationale, or the French branch, would like to have a communist government with no god at all. British Israelism, on the other hand, has a whole bunch of gods. They pretend to only have one, and they pretend to be the real tribe of Israel, but that's not true. They have a whole bunch of gods. Zionism, again, pretends to have a god, but in fact, doesn't. They believe in, ladies and gentlemen, humanism. Secular humanism. That's their god. Man is god. And the Vatican is the same old pantheon of gods that the Romans had, the Greeks had, that existed back in the old days of Babylon. I'm not talking about the Catholic Church, and I'm not talking about Catholics, and I'm not pinging on anybody. I'm just laying it where it is. Everybody should have a copy of Scarlet and the Beast for the history up until the last couple of chapters in the book, because that's what you need to know. Brilliant. Brilliant research. I've never seen anyone who has done so much research and understands as much about what's happening and who's bringing it about, other than me, except for John Daniel. But as I said at the end of the book, he goes off on a flight of fancy. And because he goes off on a flight of fancy, I thought it would be interesting to do that week. And it was interesting. I guess crazy phone calls over it. But I had fun. I think you've all learned something. And if you believe wholeheartedly in the Bible, then I've given you justification for your beliefs. And you've now pinpointed, through the book of Revelations, to of the enemy. Good evening, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello.
Are you going to talk?
Yes.
Well, let's get on with it.
I've missed you all week.
You have? Well, I've been gone. I told you I was going to be gone. What can I do for you?
My shortwave broke down. Try to get you on satellite.
Wasn't on satellite. I said I wasn't going to be on satellite. Carolyn's gone. I don't have anybody run the studio when I'm gone.
I thought that was ran out of Marquette.
I'm sorry, I can't understand what you're saying.
I thought it was ran out of Marquette when you were out.
Ran out of Marquette? I don't even know what you're talking about. Marquette what?
I'm sorry, not Marquette. Yeah, Marquette, Michigan.
Nope, don't even know what you're talking about. Don't know nobody in Marquette, Michigan.
Don't know Gary Bourgeois?
Yeah, I know Gary Bourgeois. But he doesn't have anything to do with airing my program.
Well, I thought he aired some of your tape programming when you're not on the satellite.
Never has. We got more important things to talk about. Thanks for calling. Well, that didn't go anywhere. Wasn't important. Didn't even make any sense. But, you know, that's how some calls go on the hour of the time. Folks, I want to get some good news. For those of you on the East Coast, especially, beginning the 31st of October, we will be aired three times each night, Monday through Friday, on two different satellites, and four additional times, Monday through Friday nights, on three different shortwave frequencies. Now, I'm not going to tell you which satellites or which frequencies right now, because I don't have all the figures in front of me, but that's coming up beginning the 31st of October. So we will be heard seven times each night, Monday through Friday. Three times on two different satellites, and four times on three different shortwave frequencies. And we are in the process, ladies and gentlemen, of putting together a series of 13 weeks of television programming, which will be on satellite, will be carried by some cable networks and some television stations, depending upon who we decide to go with, because we're negotiating with several different providers of satellite time. And these different providers have different cable networks that pick up their satellite programming and different independent stations and network stations that pick it up as supplemental programming. So you can look for that in the coming months. But beginning October the 31st, we will be on seven times each night, three times on two different satellites and four times on three different shortwave frequencies. We are growing. We are expanding. We are making a difference, and people want to hear this broadcast.
Round, round, get around. I get around. Yeah, get around. Round, round, I get around. I get around. Down the same old strip. I gotta find a new place where the kids are here. My buddy's a man, you're getting real well known. Yeah, the bad guy, I know it's in the
river. You know, I was looking for some music to herald this great event. I listened to, God, I don't know how many songs tonight. And was surprised when I found something that fit on a Beatles album, but that's exactly what I found, and it fit better than anything else that I had here, so that's what you got to hear. And I hope we can have some good conversation tonight, somehow, maybe. It's possible. We have somebody on the line right now. Let's see who it is. Good evening. You're on the air.
Tonight. I have a question. I finished reading some of the book called The Two Babylons. You ever read that book?
Yes, by Hyslop.
Hyslop, yes. I found that very, very...
illuminating is
very
the word.
Illuminating, yes. I would recommend that to anybody that wants to get more information about the way the church thinks as far as the Catholic Church is concerned.
Absolutely. Yes, I've recommended it several times during the Mystery Babylon series and still do. We have it in our library, along with many other wonderful books full of information. What can we do for you?
Well, I just wanted to discuss that particular topic. I just got finished looking at your video from back in 92, the New World Order,
Where was it?
UFO agenda thing.
Where was it?
Founded at a...
No. Where was the lecture?
I think... that's a good question. It was, the fourth annual. The fourth annual, seminar.
Well, in those days I was going to, seminars all over the place. Could have been the fourth annual anything. But anyway, what impressed you about that?
Well, just your knowledge. Other than like Hislop and this is another thing I wanted to ask. Have you ever heard of Alberto Rivera?
Yes, I have.
Is his information valid?
I don't know. I've tried to contact him and talk to him and get him on this broadcast several different times to find out.
I've run into the same problem.
The man is, as far as I can tell, doesn't exist.
Well, the only people that I've gotten were his secretary, and that's about it.
Well, I always get people who tell me that he'll call me back, and he'd love to be on the show, and he'd love to talk to me and everything, but I never get anything. Nothing. And you can't reach him, you can't talk to him, you can't find anybody who's ever seen him, so... I don't know.
Okay.
I just don't know.
I'm just kind of running down a list of some of the names that I at this point in time I'm not sure who to trust.
Whoa! Now you're doing the wrong thing. If you're asking me who to trust, that's the wrong thing to do.
Okay.
My advice is listen to everybody, read everything, don't believe anything or anybody unless you personally can prove it, not because I say so.
Okay.
But because you can prove it. Otherwise, you're just transferring the puppet strings from whoever was holding them before over to me. How do you know you can trust me?
Yeah, so you got that one right. Okay.
I'm trying to wake people up and get them to quit following people because they say to follow them or believe in them because they say something's true. And that's exactly what most people do all their life. They don't know dip about anything.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I'm thinking of distributing getting your tape to at least 10 different people if I can, and I think they need to hear it.
Good.
So, but anyway, I'll continue listening on shortwave. It's kind of fading in and out here in Florida. So.
Well, pretty soon we'll be aired on satellite and shortwave at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Beginning October the 31st, and I'll let you know what frequencies and what satellites later in the week.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your information, and I'll keep on listening.
Thank you for calling. Yeah, folks, if you've been having trouble getting the hour of the time between two satellites and three frequencies, you should be able to get us loud and clear on one of those every night. And you'll have your choice. So, do it. Hello.
Bill.
You're on the air.
Bruce, I'm a detective. Glad to have you back.
Thank you.
What's the latest going on down in Phoenix with the trial?
Pardon?
What's the latest going on down in Phoenix with your trial?
Well, I talked about that at the beginning of the program.
I just did get into the radio where I could hear it. I'm sorry.
Well, you know me. I don't like to go back and repeat things.
I'd like to go back over it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm winning so far.
That sounds great to me. Now, that's the only thing I want to check on. Just make sure everything's going okay. Thanks a bunch, and you keep up the good work, guy.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. 602-337-2524 is the number for the new listeners. 602-337-2524. Had somebody call up and say, why don't you have an 800 number? Why do I have to pay for everything? You pay for your share, folks. I'm not going to get an 800 number ever, so forget it. Good evening. You're on the air.
This is Jeffrey Dyker from New Orleans.
Hi, Jeffrey. How are you?
Well, not so good tonight, and I'll tell you why. I heard your series 2 weeks ago on the Babylon thing.
Uh-huh.
The problem I have is, did you quote from a gentleman by the name of John R. Church?
No. John Daniels.
John Daniels. And he quoted a Reverend Church.
He may have, yes.
Yeah. The problem with that is, having heard Mr. Church's interview on the Southwest Radio Church, I can tell you that his book is very questionable on two grounds. One, Church claims, on the one hand, that Paris was founded by the Prince of Troy, whose name was Paris, and that's wrong. Julius Caesar's Gallic War campaigns, which I had to read in high school before I went blind in the original Latin, points out that Paris was actually founded by tribes related to the Scottish and the Welsh, known as the Parisi, not by Paris, the Prince of Troy. And unfortunately, that's one of the problems with people like Church and his groups, that they don't do their scholarship very well when it comes to these Latin sources. The other thing I wanted to point out to you, of course, this is a bad day for us since it's UN Day, is the unfortunate fact that while you've been working on your trial and so on, the U.S., of course, has signed treaties with North Korea, practically giving them all our oil, et cetera, et cetera, while we're going to let North Korea keep their bombs, which they're going to continue to distribute.
Well, you're right, Jeffrey, by the way, you can see a lot better than a lot of people with 20/20 vision that I know, my friend.
Yeah, I know, and of course, as things keep getting worse and worse, as Clinton makes his secret alliances according to Marxist views, especially in regard to his going to Syria and preparing to turn over the Golan Heights to the Syrians if he can get away with it, I can tell you this, that is going to lead to the conflict between those four powers you talked about, which could bring on the kinds of world wars we don't want to have.
Well, if you read Albert Pike, and if you understand which way we're going, a third world war, according to the plan, is called for. They want the people of the world to get on their knees and beg for them to take over the power of the world and disarm everybody so that it can't ever happen again. And to do that, they have to have a terrible war using atomic weapons. And, you know, I hope that it doesn't happen. It doesn't have to happen. But we know that they have written about it. They've talked about it. And that's part of their plan.
Well, I'll let you go and let other callers come in. But I figured I had to call and let you know about that flaw with Mr. Church, in case you ever run into somebody who does cite him.
Well, just because they cite him doesn't mean what they cite is necessarily wrong. Some of the things that everybody does is, I've made mistakes in my research, you know that.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
So let's not be too hard on everybody, but let's certainly expose the errors, maybe made intentionally, maybe made by accident, but it's always good to correct the mistakes, so to speak.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Jeffrey. Well, folks, the number is 602-337-2524. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, good evening, Bill. How are you tonight? Go ahead,
Dan. Oh, well, I'm sitting here long, waiting for my ya-ya. Oh, I'm sitting here long, waiting for my ya-ya.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, very, very nicely put. Bill, I was wondering about the relationship between the state citizen sovereign movement and the dilemma which you posed at the end of the broadcast a week ago.
What was that? Refresh my memory.
Well, you look at the development of the Constitutional Republic of the United States, and you find French Masons on one side and British Masons on the other.
Oh, that's correct. Yeah, I now know what you're referring to. The statement that I made that these powers are in control, and they practice the Hegelian dialectic of political conflict resolution. And what that means is, whatever side you think you're on, they've got the reins, and they're really controlling it, and you're following their leaders. And the message of this program is, we don't need to do that. We need to pull back from all that stuff. Following state, getting sovereign and getting your own identity and your own sovereignty back is good no matter who you think you're following. That's always good, because if we have the power, the people can regain the power that we've lost. And if we understand that all of these different leaders, no matter what they say, are all pulling us toward one world government, totalitarian socialist government, then we can change the direction, and we can change. If we want world government, that's fine, but we can make it the government that we want, not the one that they're manipulating us into.
So then forming our townships and taking our state citizen steps is really a good way to counteract this new world order direction.
Absolutely. If you're in their system and you're their slave, you're in their control. If you're a sovereign, you're in your own control.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling. 602-337-2524. Yes, I want to empower the people, individuals. I want protections for individual rights and individual freedom. I want the individuals to understand that they have a brain and start using it and quit asking everybody else what they should do and who they should follow and how they should do it and what time they should get up and where they should go to work and what church to go to. Because it's not good. Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper. Dan from Marinette calling.
Hi, Dan.
I got a couple questions for you regarding your multiple broadcasts that night. Is that going to be the same program, or is that going to be different programs?
Well, I'm not sure yet. It's going to depend upon the availability of satellite time to broadcast live on Galaxy 3 at 8 p.m. Eastern. If I don't have that availability, then there'll be two live satellite broadcasts, and then the different frequencies will be echoing one of those two broadcasts.
Oh, okay. That sounds good. Anxiously awaiting to see the TV stuff also. I've got a question for you. I've heard some of your mystery schools, and I've also missed some of the broadcasts, but I have one question regarding a book I'm reading. And it, in your opinion, do you believe the Bible is a product of pagan mythology, or do you think pagan mythology is a product of the Bible?
Well, it depends on what your definition of pagan mythology is.
Well, non-Christian, non-Hebrew.
Well, you see, there is no such thing as non-Christian, because Christianity comes directly from the oldest religion in the world.
And that is the...
That is the religion of the cosmology.
I see. This book gets into all that stuff.
The birth, death, and rebirth of the sun.
Right.
The battle between light and darkness. You know, and Chris, I'll get some letters now calling me a blasphemer and all that kind of stuff. I consider myself a Christian. I believe that the words that Christ spoke, the words in red in the Bible, are probably the greatest teachings that have ever been given to the human race by anybody. Whether he lived or died doesn't make any difference to me. Whether he was the Son of God or a man that walked on the earth does not make any difference to me. What makes a difference to me is what he taught.
Yeah, very well. I have to agree 100%. I have one last question for you, and I don't know if you can discuss it or not, but I was curious how your ham radio test went, if you got your license, and how your lawsuit against ARRL is going.
No, we're still working on the legal end of it, and I decided not to get a license. The only reason I went down there was to prove to my friends that there wasn't going to be any license for me. I told them all before I left that they were going to give me a hard time and I wouldn't get a license. And he said, no, go ahead. You know, they don't give anybody any hassle, and you'll get a license. And I said, okay, you watch. I'll show you. I'll go down there, and you'll see what happens.
I thoroughly enjoyed that. I am a volunteer examiner and also a ham, and that was a very interesting program when you gave a report on your exam session. I'll let you go and let somebody else on the line. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. We finally found out who the mysterious volunteer examiner named Dave was. We've got his number. We've got his address. We've got everything. And that's really been the biggest holdup, was identifying that guy. And that, dear listeners, has been taken care of. So, I think it's about time to tell you a little bit about somebody that I care an awful lot about. So don't go away. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
You know, folks, that could be you that they're singing about, huddled in the shadows, trying to keep warm with a paper spread over your body, getting rousted by the night patrol. You know, I was looking at a few things. It's beyond my comprehension how the greatest nation in the world, with the most opportunity, the highest standard of living that any people in this world have ever had, the greatest, used to be anyway, greatest education system, when the education system was controlled in the community, and run by the community, and paid for by the community, with the greatest technology. We used to have the greatest manufacturing base of any nation in the world. I was going back not a whole lot of years, folks. And I'll tell you what got me interested in doing this is I have a satellite receiver. And I like to collect memorabilia from the secret societies. And one of the things that they have are stopwatches and pocket watches that have the Masonic emblems and the Knights of Pythias emblems and the Rose Cross emblem and the Knights Templars, all of these. And so I watch the programs that sell these kinds of things, looking for these kinds of memorabilia, because it's part of my research and study. I have a pocket watch that was made in 1888, sterling silver with a Masonic dial, all the Masonic symbols on the dial. I have a Knights of Pythias watch with the skull and bones and the other symbols of the Knights of Pythias engraved in the gold case. Now, I don't spend a lot of money for this because I can't afford to, but what amazed me is how much those watches sell for now compared to what they sold for when they were brand new. For instance, in the Sears catalog, I don't know how many of you realize you could buy a pocket watch that kept good time, was reliable, it would last for many years, for $1. The same pocket watch, if made today, ladies and gentlemen, would cost you a lot, an awful lot, compared to that $1. And when I started to sit down and figure these things up, just since the turn of the century, the value of the dollar has decreased by a minimum, bare minimum, of 1,500%. And the American people don't realize it, don't understand it, and for the most part, don't even know it. Yet 1 ounce of gold or 1 ounce of silver will buy exactly the same number of pocket watches today that they would at the turn of the century. The same number of loaves of bread today that they would at the turn of the century. Look at the price of an automobile today and figure out the inflation rate based upon the fact that you could buy a brand new car for $500 from Henry Ford. The best car made in America, $500. What do you pay now for the best car made in America? Now, if you want to stop losing money every year, because every year, in fact, every day, the value of the dollar declines. And every time it declines, you lose the value of your assets. You lose the value of your savings. You think that you're making money by putting money in some interest-bearing account or investment or a T-bill or even in stocks and bonds. You think you're making money? But when you take the rate of inflation into account, you're not making anything. You're lucky if you can stay even, and most of you never stay even. You lose. And that's why the greatest nation in the world with the highest living standard that's ever existed on the face of this earth, with the most opportunity, the only free people that have ever lived. You keep getting poorer and poorer and poorer. And you should have taken the hint when it became impossible for one person to work and the other one to stay home with the children. You can't do that anymore unless you're very, very wealthy. Call Swiss America Trading right now. Do it now. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Folks, you'll be glad when you get this off your chest, when you take care of business. If you can't look your loved ones in the eye right this moment and tell them that they're protected from the decrease in the value of your earning power, then you've lost it somewhere, and you really probably don't love them as much as you pretend to. So call now, 1-800-289-2646. A great weight will come off your shoulders, and you'll be glad that you did.
Listen while I talk to you. I tell you what we're gonna do. There's a new thing that's going around, and I'll tell you what you're putting down. Just move your body all around and just shake. Oh, mama, shake. That's the way to do it.
Good evening. You're on the air. Hello. Folks, if you can't wait, don't call, because chances are you're not going to get right on the air when you call, especially when you call right before a break. You're wasting my time and your time. Good evening. You're on the air.
Well, good evening, Bill. I'm kind of curious on the liner notes of your book, Behold a Pale Horse. There's a claim to the effect that you are the leading authority on UFOs.
Yeah, absolutely. Without a doubt.
Okay. Have you tried to get...
I'm the only one who tells both sides of the story about UFOs and tells you the truth about alien visitation versus human technology. Yes, absolutely. Everybody else out there is scamming the public. They have an agenda to create an extraterrestrial threat to this earth in order to bring about one world government.
Have you made any attempt to take this out to other media venues, such as other radio shows?
Oh, absolutely. Everybody would listen to everything I said until I connected UFOs with the New World Order, and then,
Well,
and they won't deal with the facts. No, what they do is attack me personally, like they always did. This is a typical socialist bullshit trick. Is they cannot deal with facts. They never talk about facts. They never debate facts. They always attack the person, usually with a bushel full of lies.
Well, I have only recently discovered you about 6 or 8 months ago, so I'm not up on your full history, so to speak, as it's been presented. One of the things that I've noticed, at least recently, is that there are more and more sympathetic ears, shall we say, in the talk show circles. And I'm just curious if there's been any recent attempts.
Well, now that, be careful what you mean by sympathetic. By sympathetic, do you mean that they're promoting the fact that extraterrestrials are real?
They're.
Is that the gist of their programming?
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
At the same time, there are
one world government's coming. You better straighten up.
Well, that's just it. I'm hearing more and more of these people that at least outwardly appear to be also, if not outright sympathetic, at least more open to the idea that the things that we are discussing here tonight and elsewhere has more validity than the mainstream media is willing to give it. So in that respect, also, they appear to be becoming more sympathetic.
Not true. Art Bell, for instance, used to have a talk show in Las Vegas where he talked about all kinds of conservative things and a little bit of ridiculousness every once in a while. When he talks about UFOs, he has people like John Lear on who will tell you that we're being eaten by aliens, that we're being abducted by aliens, that they're sucking our blood, and that crash disks have crashed in New Mexico, and alien bodies were recovered. If I were to propose to Art Bell to go on his show and talk about the possibility that this is human technology and it's a scam to bring about one world government, he won't hear of that.
Hmm.
Now, I ask you, what is all this based upon? Where's the dead bodies? Where's the crashed alien craft? Where's a piece of metal from any extraterrestrial anything that's crashed or been here?
Well, I agree, and I see in other media, the television is a perfect example. We're seeing more and more of this, hints that maybe the government will finally open up and tell us all of...
They've been saying that since 1947. The government can't open up and tell us everything. You know why?
There's nothing to tell.
That's exactly right. There's nothing to tell. When the government says that UFOs do not represent a threat to the national security, they're telling the truth. But every time they say it, all the wackos say, cover up, they're lying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
Now, don't think that they're not someday, because they might. If they can create something in a laboratory that looks like it might have come from another planet, and they can grow it and teach it some kind of a weird language so that it can step out of an aircraft on the White House lawn and shake hands with the president in front of the TV cameras, then they just might tell you that we're being visited by extraterrestrials from some other planet. I've gone back and studied this from the farthest back that I can find reference to it. And I'm telling you right now, if extraterrestrials are real, they're no threat to this planet. They're not bothering us. They're not eating us. They're not mutilating cattle. They're not doing any of that stuff. If they're real, they're not interfering in us at all. They did not create us. They did not create Jesus Christ. They are not manipulating the government.
Hmm. Well, okay. In fact, you mentioned Art Bell, and he was specifically the host I was thinking about.
Yeah, and he calls his show Dreamland.
Yeah.
That's what John Lear said the secret name of Area 51 is. I've done two video documentaries on Area 51. In fact, I'm the one that told everybody where it was. They all say it was Bob Lazar, but that's not true. It was me on the Billy Goodman radio show in Las Vegas. And then another guy who was a reporter, I forget his name, he went out there and scouted it and found the little alien, and he would call in the Billy Goodman show. And then the listeners started calling. Billy Goodman put together a field trip and went out there. And I had been going out there for years and did two video documentaries, one called Project Red Light, the other one called Project Red Light 2. The masters have worn out, so you can't order them from me. They're all gone. And we don't have any masters left to make any. But it's not alien technology. It's human technology. And we found out that the Germans actually developed disc-shaped craft before and during World War II and perfected them to the point where they could be test flown. We found reference in 1917 where John Dewey, the father of our failed education system, who proposed a new world order, a one world government, said in a speech before the Japanese imperial delegation at a dinner in New York City, which was this delegation was headed by Viscount Ishii, the first sentence out of his mouth was, quote, "Someone once told me that the best way to unite all humanity in a one-world government and do away with war would be if we were attacked by some other species from some other planet," end quote. Almost the exact words that Reagan said six times during his presidency.
It makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, you better believe it. People better wake up to this stuff. Stop listening to these scam artists. Recently, Larry King was on, and old Stanton Friedman and the rest of these clowns kept sitting there talking about, we got all this proof. And all they kept saying for 2 or 4 hours, however long it was, I taped the whole thing, was, we got proof. But they never showed one single bit of proof during that entire program, and they never do. And Stanton Friedman, what did he say? What did he keep saying? This is going to affect the young people where they have a different view of the planet, where they see the planet as one under one government rather than divided up into separate nations.
Which sounds like something that Larry King would just eat up.
Oh, he did eat it up, but that's the whole purpose of the whole show. And people went away saying, Larry King did a show on UFOs. They must be real. And they talked about all the proof that they have. But they never showed anybody any proof, did they?
Well, I don't know. I missed the program. It sounds like I should have seen it. I might have gotten a few laughs.
Yeah, you should have seen it. You would have gotten a lot of laughs.
Very good. Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. Yeah, folks, you better wake up. You better wake up, gang, because they got you. They got you by the strings, and they're pulling the strings, and they're playing a tune, and you're dancing around just like they want you to do. Yes, sirree.
I want you to go, all of you. 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 That ain't doing nothing for me. I want you to go, all of you. That ain't doing nothing for me. I want you to go, all of you. I want you to go, all of you. I want you to go, all of you. That ain't doing nothing for me. And can't do nothing for me. I want you to go, all of you. I want you to go, all of you.
Anybody out there listening? Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello. Am I the one?
I guess you are.
Oh, okay. I had heard on one show or another a month or two ago that the government had $1 trillion coming due on the debt this month. And I've been watching for that to come out someplace and see how it would affect the market. And I was wondering, first of all, what you would have to say about that. And the next thing is the awareness in the public of something strange going on and the non-constitutional nature of our government seems to be sort of poking its head up around and about more than I would suspect the New World people would like, and tying that in with the questionnaire that had been given to the Marines at Pendleton and to Navy SEALs about whether they would be willing to grab or to kill people who wouldn't hand over their guns, and the idea that most of them supposedly said no, maybe has put a little crimp in their plans and changed their decision on whether or not they were going to be able to make it as safe for themselves to take everything over as they had hoped. I'm wondering whether or not they can wait much longer with the awareness that the public is getting with all of this. If they wait too much longer, isn't it going to get to the point where they may just get booted out and lose their chance?
Well, you're dealing in speculation now, and we don't deal in speculation on this program.
Oh, darn. Well, how about the $1 trillion? Have you heard anything about that?
Nope.
Okay.
We have interest due on the debt all the time. And the debt is already way beyond the amount that we can repay, if you include the interest. Anyway, but it doesn't make any difference, because if you listen to this program and if you understand which way we're going, when they need money, they just create it out of thin air.
That's true, but at some point it's got to get to the point where they...
Nope, not as long as people use credit cards and keep borrowing money.
No, I'm not talking about them not being able to do it. I mean people just saying, hey, wait a minute.
People won't say, hey, wait a minute. As long as they use credit cards and keep borrowing money, and the trend is now to go to debit cards where cash will not even go through anybody's hands anymore, the people will never know. The only way that they can ever know is if they deal in cash and all of a sudden discover that the cash doesn't exist. That's the only way you can catch this theft, and that's why they have to go to a cashless system. That's why they introduced credit cards. That's why they talked people into borrowing money for everything that they used to save for before they bought it. That's why they're convincing people that debit cards are the way to go.
How long do you think things can go the way, again, this is speculation, but before the confidence in the dollar and everything around the world goes down the tubes and everybody says, hey, wait a minute, you know, we're pulling all our money out, and although it seems as though they've got to get all of the manufacturing out of the country first, so when we go down, all the rest of the world isn't going up in arms going, well, now we have nobody to get the things we need. They've got to get everything out of the country first so that they can get it elsewhere before we tumble. But it just seems as though it just going on forever. It almost seems like what they want to do is drive us all crazy.
Well, only the ones who know. You see, most people don't know, don't care, don't give a damn, and we'll be very happy. And we'll believe anything that they're told. See, you're giving a lot of credit to the sheeple that they don't deserve.
I suppose. I hate to think that everybody is a waste of time.
Well, walk down the street and try to talk to everybody you meet about just exactly what you talked about here, and you'll see.
Well, I have. Have you seen the films America in Peril?
By Mark Kornke?
That sounds right. He has one up in called Arms.
You haven't been listening to this show very long, have you?
I have, but I can get you so poorly.
Most of what Kornke says is bullshit. Most of what the militia of Montana puts out is bullshit. Most of what goes across the Patriot Facts Network is bullshit. Mark Kornke is not who he says he is. Why do you buy videos and listen to what the guy is saying without checking out who the guy is?
Well, actually, I'm given the videos by others.
It doesn't matter how you get it, whether you bought it or somebody else gave it to you. You're citing him as an authority.
No, that's why I was asking if you'd seen him. Actually, I was trying to check up on it.
I've been listening to Mark Kornke for years. That's how, and we've investigated him, and we've checked up on it. And that's how I know that he's not who he says he is. He's a fraud.
Okay. As far as the concept of citizenship on the 14th Amendment, one of the things that had getting into the concept of whether or not you're liable or under the jurisdiction of the IRS for taxes and things like that, something came up the other day when I was listening to a show about the declaration you need to make when you join a militia that you are or plan on becoming a U.S. citizen. And is it possible that this is a built-in way for them to disarm everything?
No, that's only the militia of the United States. You see, you guys don't understand. The militia belongs to the state unless you live within the Federal District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, the United States Virgin Islands, or the portions of the Marshall Islands, in which case you can belong to the United States militia. If you live in the state of Arizona like I do, I belong to the Arizona militia, and it don't have to be a United States citizen, according to the 14th Amendment. But I am a United States citizen with a small u, according to the terms of the contract of the Constitution, wherein the several states join together for their mutual benefit and protection.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for taking my call. And hello, Rick, out there. Bye.
Thank you for calling. Well, I hope that cleared some things up. Hope somebody understands, and just in case you don't.
Thou shalt never love another.
Thou shalt never love another.
And stand by me all the while.
And stand by me all the while.
Seek happiness with the heartache.
Seek happiness with the heartache.
And go through life wearing a smile.
Go through life wearing a smile.
Oh, how happy we will be if we keep the Ten Commandments of love.
Hi, Tim. Hi, Annie. Hi, Deadeye. Hi, Ferris. Hi, Ma. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. I bought your book, Behold a Pale Horse.
Good. Buy some more.
And
pass them out.
I was reading your chapter on the secret government.
Mm-hmm.
And in there you present the aliens as a hypothesis. But do you personally, unequivocally, do not believe that they exist?
You didn't read the book.
Well, I mean, perhaps I should read it again, but I'm just saying, I mean, you present it as a hypothesis, right?
Well, I presented it as a hypothesis if the information is correct, according to what I saw when I was in the Office of Naval Intelligence and according to what's available that everybody wants you to believe. Okay. But at the end, I left no question about what I believe, but nobody ever reads that part.
Okay, because I'm questioning the information that was presented.
Go back and read the conclusions at the end of the chapter, specifically the last conclusion, number 5, and you'll know the answer.
Okay. My second question, if I may, you talk about FEMA.
Yeah.
And I'm curious. I know you don't deal in speculation, but
If you know I don't deal in speculation, how come everybody always asks me a question involving speculation?
Well, because you present, you know, several possibilities in your show that the...
That's to allow you to think and develop the desire in you to want to find out the answer so you'll go out and do some research.
All right. So, I mean, well, I'm asking, I mean, if do you see any impending, perhaps, national emergencies that they are looking to create?
God, they've already created many. We're in a national emergency right now. We got troops in Haiti.
True, but, I mean, that's because we're participating with the United Nations.
You know, that really blows my mind. Everybody asks me, Bill, aren't you scared? I mean, you're revealing all this stuff. You're really making them mad. And boy, aren't you afraid they're going to kill you? Here I am, on United States soil, fighting for my country, for the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and everybody's afraid that I'm going to get killed, but nobody gives a damn about those people in Haiti. Oh, my God, it makes me sick. Good night, folks. Please learn to use your brains, and God bless you all.
Make it go.